you haven't heard about Anchor yet, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Best of all, it's free to use and allows you to record your episodes right from your phone, tablet, or laptop. And the end result is that your podcast can then be heard on platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. We here at Talking Pons have only been using Anchor for the last couple weeks, but we've already fell in love with how easy it is and how easy it makes our jobs. And if your podcast grows enough in popularity, you can even start making a profit. It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome, everybody, to the Talking Pylons podcast, another edition here today. We are reluctant that we do not have Mark Levesque with us today. He's currently weathering the storm driving home, but we have my co-host, Mark Krasminski. How you doing, buddy?
Fine, shut up.
I'm Mike Napolitano, and as you can all tell, we have a special guest here with us today. I want to introduce my friend, Nick Terranova. I want to welcome in our guest today. I've known this man since we were toddlers running around Mayfair Park in Westchester, and we've been teammates before on countless baseball and soccer teams, but never hockey until this past year when Nick made his debut in the SHL with the Hurricanes. And he had been drafted to several teams before that in prior years, but he wasn't able to make it out to those games. He's a fellow NIU Husky. He could probably kick your ass with some jujitsu kicks, outdrink you with his frat boy skills, and he's an absolute unit. And fun fact, his Spin Chicklets podcast fandom actually started the domino effect which created the Talking Pylons. So without him, we wouldn't even be here. So welcome to Talking Pylons, Nick Terranova.
What an intro. I can't enough. I mean, need you as my hype man from now on, Mike. See, some of your intros, that one's up there. I liked it.
I would have just said
your name, but let's just skip it. Let's go.
I had to really break out the dictionary for that one. There were a lot of big words, and I'm not that smart.
You know, it's ripped.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, it was all from the heart, but I'm not that good at memorization. But so we're gonna get straight into your interview here, Nick. How you doing? What have you been up to since we last seen you?
I mean, there's not much to do. It's a pandemic, so, you know, you try to get out there as much as you can. Got to be careful with, obviously, you know, what's going on. I mean, it's just basically trying to finish my last semester of school. I mean, senioritis, I thought it was going to be bad, but it started basically last March when all this started. So when this all hit, I'm like, do I take an extra semester just to, like, enjoy one last normal college experience? And I think it was about 2 weeks into my fully online semester, I was like, screw this. I cannot do online school like this. It, you know, it has its advantages. You don't have to, like, dress up, just roll out of bed and do your work. But, I mean, besides that, it's just kind of prepping. I mean, I've probably done more hockey, if anything, just skate at the pond by you the other day. Or that was, like, a week or two ago, probably longer. There's a pond out here, but freaking snow, you know, it's coming down every day. So I haven't had a chance to really do anything, just gym, school, and, I guess, drink. It's an endless cycle, so. I mean, yeah, can't complain too much. Just been watching a lot of sports. My one roommate, who isn't really into hockey, he's getting into it more with these FanDuel parlays. And I think I'm slowly trying to ease my way into sports betting, but I don't know. I feel like I'm going to lose a shit ton of money.
Well, you're talking to a couple of degenerates right here.
Oh, and he does, like, the 50 cent. He'll ask me about the NHL because he doesn't, like, you know, he does not into hockey. And I feel bad, but not as bad, because the one time he was one game away from, like, a $40 payout, and I told him to take Tampa over Carolina. I was like, well, of course. And he gets, like, three other upsets. I'm like, I told you Tampa, but that was just a freak loss. And then there was another one, which was, like, a $30 payout, and that was when Ottawa upset Montreal. I'm like, yeah, that's not on me. That just pucked on my, I guess, but, you know. Soon I'll probably be in that degenerate gambler phase, but to be determined.
Mark's just sitting quietly down there. His degenerate skills are tingling.
Yeah, you know, I've been, you know, just, you know, throwing a couple bets here and there every day for the past, since it opened. I've been on every single hockey game so far. I've been on every single one. Unless sometimes I didn't bet today or a couple days ago. Sometimes I don't bet. I either bet at all or don't bet it at all.
Exactly. Exactly.
Slippery slope.
It most certainly is. I cannot stress that enough, but I mean, tomorrow's going to be a big gambling day with the Super Bowl, so who knows?
Tails never fails, that's all I'm saying. Tails never fails under the national anthem in orange Gatorade.
That's well, what I'm hearing.
We'll have to get to some of that in Mark's gambling corner, but before we move into the big day tomorrow, we want to talk hockey first. And Nick, when did you first get into hockey as a fan, and also when did you first start playing?
All right, so hockey's basically been a part of my life since I was a little kid. Like, my dad grew up playing, you know, and my mom, like, all of her, like, uncles and her dad play all the time. So, little enough before I came along, I was just, like, born into it. Like, there's pictures of my old toddler room, what it was before I was born. It was literally just all hockey memorabilia. Like, I'm sure we'll probably get into my mom being, like, a weird Jeremy Roenick, like, fan. I don't even know, like, all that stuff. And again, like, my dad played all through his life. According to him, he holds an IHSA record for the most penalty minutes because he fought a ref, so.
Wow, holy cow. How many penalty minutes?
I do not remember, but he was suspended for an entire year off the top of my head. This is all according to him.
Because
it went from him and, like, when he was, like, 9 years old to potentially going to Canada to play to, but his parents getting divorced, and he just kind of wanted to stay back, and then he went from a supposed all-star that was scoring hat tricks left and right to a full-on goon. So quite the transition from according to him. But, yeah, it was basically since I was little, I've been a huge Hawks fan. And according to my mom, my first ever game I went to was Gretzky's last game at the United Center. And she said she put me in a Rangers onesie. So don't shoot the messenger. I didn't have a choice in that.
Speaking about that game, hold on. Was that the game when they changed the national anthem for Gretzky? Because I remember they changed the national anthem and said, and you know, what did they say? Like, the land of the free and the home of the Gretzky or something.
I'm pretty sure it was one of those. I don't know if it was that specific game, but I know, like, right when Gretzky was doing his farewell tour, every state, yeah, you know, special thing. I was a toddler when I went to that, so. But, yeah, I remember being a huge Hawks fan growing up, and then the dark days where you can go to the United Center, and as I think Scotty Bowman said, you know, you could shoot a cannon in the place and you wouldn't hit anyone. But after the fandom came back when the Hawks started being good again, I don't know, there were some dark days, but, you know, finally the Hawks were good, and that was, like, nice to have a team to root for growing up in your childhood. You know, 3 cups in 5 years, and now they make me completely miserable, but I can't complain much about that. And then, I mean, just playing, I played a little bit when I was a kid, nothing really, like, team style. I remember I probably would have skated more if my uncle didn't trample me on the ice one day when I was like 3. But yeah, I kind of, the pond right by my house where I'm sure you know, right by, like, 2 blocks away. It's just, I remember it was kind of when I was got my first pair of skates back in, like, I think 4th grade. And I don't know if you recall good old Michael Dorner. He's like, hey, do you want to come skate? I'm like, I haven't really, like, skated and competed against people. Like, sure, I guess. And I remember I had to be, like, yanked off the ice by my parents, so I was out there, like, 6-7 hours, like, and the nice thing about Michael Dorner was he was a goalie, so he had goalie pads, so we always had a designated goalie, which is nice compared to just bar down, you know, so, but, you know, just throughout the years, this always went on the ice. I'm an awful skater, I'm sure you guys can tell, but, you know, I go out there and have fun, you know, it's about the love of the game, so.
That's absolutely what it is, and I think that's what Mark says about it all the time. Mark had a very similar, I forgot your dad played. Mark had a very similar career to your dad, just minus the skill. He went straight to the goon years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
if you're not good, you fight. That's pretty much my motto. If someone's better than you, you fight them. Then you're just better than them.
That's my thing when I'm on the ice. I know I got the fighting skills, but I don't know if I could balance it, like, That's where I kind of steer away from that. I'll be a fourth line grinder, and just if the puck falls on my blade, I'll either pass it to someone else, or if it's wide open, shoot and hope for the best.
I think you had a couple of assists in this last game. I didn't actually pull up your stats, but this last year was your first year playing the SHL. But as I mentioned, you were drafted to a couple teams in years past, but you weren't able to make it out. But finally, you were able to play this game. And just talk about what last year meant to you and being able to see the atmosphere.
Yeah, it meant a ton for me for years. Like, because I was a caddy since I was in 8th grade to freshman year, so like 2013. That's right around you guys started in 2014, correct?
We started getting on blades in 2014. We actually started the league in 2011, but it was just a little backyard, like shoes and a tennis court type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, when you're a caddy, people know busiest time is the weekend, so that was always like a conflict of schedule for me, and this still happened to be the first summer, well, my last summer of caddy, and I finally got out there. It was, you know, it was amazing. It was electric. I can't lie. I seen Coach Farm, like, damn, this looks fun. I'll remember seeing the first one where you guys did the fireworks unintentionally. I was like, that is fucking insane. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear.
Yeah, you're fine. We have this guy over here. I shouldn't point because I don't know where he's eventually going to be. But, yeah, this guy, I mean, he's got the mouth of a truck driver. So you go full send on this podcast.
Fucking send.
Unfucking send.
Yeah, it was I've never really like competed in that before, you know, from just, you know, obviously there weren't as many fans, I'm sure, because of COVID, but you know, the atmosphere of just, you know, there is, I always said with the hockey lifestyle, like, where it's like, you know, play physical out there, but you know, once you get off the bench, it's all chuckle and giggle. Like, you know, it was just an incredible time, and that was actually my first time on rollerblades too, fun fact. But, you know, there's a mix of skill levels, which makes it fun. I know I'm not the best one out there. I don't know if I was the worst, but, you know, the teams were pretty balanced. I know, Mark, you were on the other team, right?
Yeah. He was the captain of the other team.
You guys got the dub. It was a fun time, though. I cannot complain. It was just the energy and the excitement, you know. It's like beer league, but with just one big game and then a celebration at the end. So, I honestly, it was... Some I saw, but until you experience it and you're actually in it, no matter if you're the best player or the worst player, you're going to have a great time. So I cannot express that enough, Mike. It was pretty fucking awesome.
What's even better time if you win the cup? This is
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, I lost my first year, come and win the second year. I'm never losing again. Let's just put that.
Well, let's pump the brakes on that. But
I need to wait to earn my drink out of the cup next year, so.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it was just what we do. I mean, this is easy work. We went out there knowing we were going to win, and we took it home.
Okay, all right, take it easy there, guy. Mark, do you have any questions for Nick?
Oh, yeah, about the NHL. So, I feel like you watch the NHL, I guess. I don't know.
A little bit, like, here and there.
You know, a lot of guys have those guys that they watch, and I'm like, I want my game to be like that, or like, okay, this guy's really caught my eye. Do you have anyone that, top of your head, favorite player, someone that you try to play like, or?
Gotta be active or retired?
Give me both.
All right, retired, I'm obviously going with Hossa. Was my favorite player growing up, but it's not as much as a scoring, but just can play a 90-foot game, go and make defensive plays and break up passes for the other team while also just being just nice and soft with the mitts and just score and pass at ease. I always loved Hossa. And then currently, it'd be probably a player very similar to Hossa. And I know it's one of Mike's least favorite teams, but Patrice Bergeron. I've always loved Bergie. Great Selke player, but I know I'm going to get a little flack from Mike for that. But, you know, the Marchand hate is a totally justified, but I don't know if I could take the Bergeron slander. Bergie's a beaut.
No, I can't hate on Bergeron too much, but he just plays for the wrong team. That's all.
Yeah, 100%. If you bring on the Hawks, we need you. And Marion, he's a good pick, but I think he'll always be the first Kevin Durant or LeBron James, for the reason of he played for the Penguins and then they lost the cup to the Red Wings, and then he went to the Red Wings and they lost to the Penguins. I think that is the perfect poetic justice for that, because it's just, I'll be honest, it was just hilarious. It was just funny that happened.
Those were the Marion Hossa dark years. We don't talk about that. He won three cups it's all said and done. He's a legend. He's a demigod. So, no, you know who I thought you were going to say, though, Nick, especially because you mentioned possibly becoming the goon in the game in the future. We might have to have a Donnybrook between you two if you're on opposite teams. But I thought you were going to say retired player Biz Nasty, Paul Bissonnette, because he liked our picture. Did you see that?
I saw that, yeah. Definitely Biz is a beaut. If I was going to go for more of a goon guy, I'd definitely go with John Scott, though. I love John Scott. I remember when he first came to the Hawks, I think it was against the Kings. Can't remember who off the top of my head. And he just rocked that guy. And, like, everyone says he's, like, the nicest guy. I actually met him at, like, one of the Hawks, like, season ticket holder party things. But it was, like, just the absolute nicest guy. I got a picture of him with, like, short marshmallow Nick holding up the mitts next to John Scott. Easily one of the best guys, but also, you know, he's fierce. Definitely doesn't, not known for his goal scoring, but, you know, we need a Goon 3 remake / biopic of John Scott.
That, oh, I would pay to watch that. Take all my money.
They were saying for a long time they were going to make a movie based off the All-Star game back in 16, but...
That was amazing. That was one of the greatest moments in hockey history.
There's a couple of things that they could make a movie about now, even some of the backup or the e-bug situations, the emergency backup goaltender situations, and I forget they were talking about... If Vegas had won the cup that first year, that magical run, they probably would have made a movie about that. You still can, but, I mean, at the end of it, you lose to Ovi and the Capitals, which in itself was something magical because Ovi had never won a cup. So, I mean, the NHL is just – it's living in a movie, you know, these days. You're just – you never know what's going to happen, especially this Tampa team in the bubble. You could make a movie about that. I'd watch that. I don't know what they'd be doing in the bubble.
Make a movie about anything. Challenge you find. Just choose one random team and be good.
Make a movie about the Vancouver Canucks sneaking in a stripper for their backup goaltender in the bubble. So, hey,
not against it.
You know, that's a different type of movie, though. We won't go there. Yeah,
there's probably multiple stories of those, just you don't hear about them.
Yeah, no. Well, you had mentioned about getting to meet Scott, and not to pump my own tires, but I've met a lot of Blackhawks players. But you also mentioned earlier that your mom knows Roenick. Are you guys are super tight with Roenick. Are you tight with anybody else? And then also talk about your relationship with JR.
Yeah, so I wouldn't really say personally know any other, like, hockey players besides that. More just meeting them passing. But, yeah, so JR was a mutual friend of one of our close friends at a bar we used to, like, my mom worked at and, like, I went to as, like, a baby bar rat growing up. But it was Chubbs. He's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. He always, like, does stuff gives back to the community. And he knew JR throughout, like, the years and always swings by. And, yeah, it just kind of, like, was a relationship between Chubbs and mom and Roenick, you know. And, you know, yeah, Roenick has done so much to give back to the community, too. And there's so many different stories to probably go into. And I think the worst was while I was caddying, he actually was playing at the golf course I was at. I'm like, I got a caddy for him. And I'm like, yeah, we're going to give it to someone else. I'm like, you motherfuckers.
Oh, no.
And then the best part was he actually went to the bar where my mom was working at right after. And he's like, your son worked there? I should have requested. I'm like, thank you. But it's, I mean, he got a good caddy. He got my one roommate now. So I give him shit here and there for it. yeah, and it's just weird. My mom always like, isn't it weird, like, I'm friends with the high five? I'm like, yeah, sure, I guess. Like, I don't know. People definitely look at it like I'm probably, like, some lost son or some random shit. I don't know. But, yeah, and I remember, I think the best story, and this one, this is bad, but, you know, and again, throughout the years, my parents have, you know, met, like, you know, his family and stuff, I'm pretty sure, and, like, things like that. And mostly through, again, Chubbs, who's a great guy. But one of the first stories of them, like, crossing paths with our friend Chubbs through, like, you know, a mutual friend was back in 09. It was right after Roenick retired. We all went to the Roenick, like, alumni night or whatever it was back when they used to do those, like, every other year. And we all went. I think my grandpa was there, and I went home with him. But Chubbs and my dad went over there to an after party, and they were playing the Sharks that night, so I think, like, there were a few guys from the Sharks they played with, like, Marlo or someone like that, and, you know, my mom's all, like, geeked out and stuff, and she goes, pretty sure this is how the story goes, she's all geeked out, takes a picture, and she goes, my dad's like, Dan, or like, Sam, do you want a picture with him? My dad just turns around. He's not a bitter guy, but he just had the best one-liner. He's like, he's no Joe Sakic. I'm like, oh, my God.
He has a point, though.
That's cool. Thing, but, yeah, my dad was a huge Az fan and Sakic fan, so that's a good one-liner. And I'm pretty sure it's been joked about since, but that was one of my favorite lines I think I ever heard. But, you know. It was, out of, like, just Roenick, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't say I'm tight with anyone else or, like, really tight with Roenick, more of, like, just my mom and their friends. But, I mean, again, it's hockey players seem like they're one of the more friendliers, and Roenick does give back. So, he always gets a stamp of approval and should be in the HOF, in my opinion. But, you know, that's just for me.
Definitely. I think it's a consensus on that podcast. You got a unanimous vote that he's definitely a Hall of Famer. At least among Chicagoans too, I would say the first time I met him, it was a pretty good story too. I was like this little kid, and I really didn't know anything about hockey at the time. It was those dark days that you talked about at the UC, and my dad and I got backstage somehow, and we're just kind of walking in this corridor, and there's a bunch of Hawks, and Roenick was in town playing with the Kings, so a lot of ex-Hawks there, and maybe even some Kings players. I didn't know who anybody was. So Hobby Goulin was there, Bufflin was there. I got both of their signatures, but I didn't know who they were. So I was like, I could care less. And then Roenick comes walking through, and my dad knew just what to say to him. He's like, "We miss you, JR." And Roenick turned around. He's like, "I miss you guys too," because he loved it here in Chicago. He still does. And he came up to us, and my dad's like, "Michael, shake Mr. Roenick's hand." And I just put out my little, like, six-year-old hand. And then Roenick tells me, "Come on, kid, shake it like a man." And I'm just like, who the hell is this guy telling me what to do? Who does he think he is? So I met him later down the line, and I told him that story. He vaguely remembered, but I was like, I don't expect you to remember. And B, it's one of those I barely even remember.
I thought you were a Make-A-Wish kid or something.
Yeah, he probably did. He's like, "Wait, this kid's still alive? Oh my god, how did that happen?"
Fuck, I thought he had like a day to live. That's why he shook his hand.
Oh, he Jesus, yeah. Yeah, I'm basically that at this point. Who knows? Tomorrow might be the day. But, getting back on topic, though. Nick, what areas of the game do you want to improve in the next coming years? And do you see yourself in the SHL for a while?
I definitely do, you know. Kind of switching over from being like a caddy that was just like a high school type of job that pays well to kind of working full time for a logistics company. My weekends are free, so I definitely see that Saturday slate coming up in early July, or is it the first Saturday in July usually, right?
Yeah, it's usually, well, I think 4th of July is a Sunday this year, so we try not to put it on 4th of July weekend if 4th of July does fall on the weekend. So I believe it's still like the last weekend in June. I gotta double check the dates. I think it's the 26th, because last year I think it was the 27th, right? But I'd have to double check. Yeah, it's whatever that Friday, Saturday is before 4th of July.
Well, Saturday is always, I think it was the 26th, so I think it's always on the 26th.
I can double check while we're talking.
But yeah, I 100% more of just skating, 100%, not only on just blades, but ice. You know, back skating, more or less, I can barely do and barely skate alone, so I just think trying to figure out how to skate, and also my cardio was shot at the time, because I think that was right around when lockdown restrictions were kind of easing up, so, you know, it was definitely like, you take a deep breath, and you're just like, fuck, it was a little warm day, sure it was drenched, but it was a great time, and, you know, mostly just being able to skate. I feel like I got some abs here and there. If I could just get my skating down a little more, then, you know, I feel like definitely more or less getting more used to rollerblades. I can skate on ice a lot better, and that's not saying much. So, and yeah, probably invest in a better pair of rollerblades. So I really bought those that day. I went to like two different plate again, finally found them. Like, these work. And there was like old 2000s plastic ones on the back. So I don't know if you remember, my entire back, my back right shin was just torn to shreds. It was just like scabbed up, like maybe the size of my hand. It was not fun.
Oh, I didn't even see that. I also didn't realize it was your first time on rollerblades. I would have figured that you know, having the rink right around the corner from you, you had at least gotten out there and played roller a couple of times. But I know you're always out there during the ice season as well.
Oh, yeah. I was usually roller. I was a designated, not on blades person, but definitely learning how to skate a bit more with the blades. And the funny thing too was going back to my dad. He always said, "There's like, oh, I don't ever want you on roller blades." Like, I knew this great skater that I used to play back in like beer league. Could skate circles around everyone. First time on roller blades, like cracked his ankle in half, like just snapped. And I'm just like, that could happen on ice too. Like, I know you think I'm stupid, but I'm not that stupid. Come on now, bud.
Well, I mean, there is a big difference, and I've noticed it most this year just because of the great weather we've had for ice, and then also getting a chance to play ice with some other guys. I've been playing ice a lot more in the last year than I ever have in my life, and every time I get off the ice, I just, like, in the back of my head, I'm like, okay, the minute I go back to roller, I'm not going to be able to do as many of the things I'm doing on ice, because it just becomes so much different of a feel when you start to do one way more than the other, which is why I was always better at roller than ice, because that was what was right around the corner, and you had pavement wherever to skate on. But we used to have guys that were designated feet players too, but we kind of moved away from that and get everybody on skates. And you know, you've seen that we have a huge range of skill in the league, so we try not to exclude anybody. I mean, if you can't skate, and it's, you know, like we have some guys that was their first time putting on rollerblades too. I mean, you had skated in general before, but it was their first time either roller or ice skating, and you know, so we try to keep it inclusive.
But, they have the guys like Matt who just consistently can't skate.
Yeah, Matt's owned rollerblades for like what, 5 years now, and he still can't skate, so.
Once he got out there and loosened up a bit, it came with these. And again, that was like the big thing was also post-quarantine, you know, probably the height of all of our weight and carb building and just drinking beers locked indoor. I feel like all of our cardios were a little shot up for that day specifically.
That is very true.
I was fucking done for. I was shot there the day before the game. I was like, fuck this, I'm sitting out.
I had a few old ones on the bench too. Don't worry.
That's no different for Mark, though. He's always huffing and puffing. He couldn't keep up. But, I mean, that you know, you do so much. I did mention you do, is it jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, mostly jiu-jitsu now. Kind of was wrestling at first, then morphed into jiu-jitsu with a little bit of kickboxing. But, honestly, because of the pandemic and just being my old gym actually just recently closed in Downers Grove, so I'm kind of a free agent, I guess, in the jiu-jitsu world to find a new gym.
Okay. All right. So you're still in the sport and still training?
Yes.
Where you can?
Where I can, yeah. And we have a club team up here at school, which I've been a part of since my freshman year. And, you know, it's definitely different compared to going to, like, a Gracie Jiu-Jitsu gym or something like that, where, you know, these guys just kind of, like, you know, you're learning from people who've been doing this for, like, 20, 30 years, where you come to NIU and it's just like, all right, let's just take all of our knowledge from all of our home gyms and put it together. And it's quite a different, unique way of learning a sport, but usually when we went to competitions, we kicked ass, which was always fun, and, you know, compared to anything else, definitely one of the things I really miss about the pandemic, besides the time crunch between that and school and other stuff, but, yeah, definitely shout out to the NIU Jiu-Jitsu team. Hopefully by the end of 2021, we're back up and going, so.
Huskies, let's go. I gotta come up and watch one of your tournaments if they get back up and running.
Of course, or I'll come back as an alumni and just whoop everyone's ass. We'll see.
I love it. But speaking of whooping some ass, next year the two captains for the Schaumburg Hockey League Stanley Cup Final are this man, Mark Krasminski, and Michael Cross, who you know very well from our Westchester days.
Yeah, he sounds a little familiar. I don't know.
Where do you see yourself going in the draft? Who do you think selects you, and where do you put yourself as far as, like, draft range?
I definitely see myself as a pitch, as a diamond in the rough, do all the right things right beside skate as I bash my own skating skills. But, you know, with Mike, I have that chemistry with him, but I'm sure Mike can get chemistry with everyone. And Mark, you know, you have your guy that'll lay out Cross with a single push to the back. That determination, I'll be the McSorley and just knock his ass out.
I love it.
Like, I gotta rag on him a little bit. Come on now.
That's totally fine.
Hey, I just want to go to the winning side. You know, that's all. And Mark, if you're guaranteed a win, I'd love to be on your team. And if
I'm talking about Joe Namath, Super Bowl, guaranteeing the fucking W.
Or game seven, Mark Messier saying, we're gonna win, goes out and scores, what was it, four goals or a hat trick or whatever?
Yeah, I think it was game six of the conference finals.
See, I didn't study. It's not Blackhawks history. I didn't study that well. Mark's already taken notes though. He's like, oh, Nick said diamond in the rough. I might have to take him. Well, steal him from Mike. He's gonna take you first overall, just to piss Mike Cross off.
Mark is going for the strategy to get the booze crews out and just fucking beat the fuck out of everyone on the rink. So,
part of the reason why we've never had Mike as a captain before is he's like, you know, the majority of the guys are the guys you play hockey with, so I don't really know everybody. And, you know, especially last year, we kind of had a whole new league. I mean, half the players in that league, it was their first time playing for the SHL. And Mike was like, yeah, but I don't know any of these guys. I'm like, yeah, but you're like, you can be that leader. Like, you show it with your skill on the court or the rink. And, I can help you figure out who's who. But, yeah, if Mark took you first overall, he'd probably turn to me and he'd be like, Mike, I don't know anybody else. Come help me. So, yeah.
Even as his friend, I would advise him he's a fucking idiot if he takes me first as all. Again, I said draft seal, not number one all-star. So,
Danny Heatley all-star?
Yeah.
All-star. Yeah, if he took me instead of the Mark, I think it was your friend, the one kid who was just dangling everyone on the ice.
Oh. He's on my team. I'm drafting him.
Little Sidney Crosby. Don't sleep on if the Sauce Kit boys are in the draft this year. Vinny Sauce and whoever he can bring in. So I still got to contact them. We'll probably be getting Mike Cross on next week to hopefully do a draft before the podcast. And then our actual episode of the podcast will probably be breaking down the selections and trades and whatnot. And if it gets heated between the two captains, which should be fun to watch. But this next year is kind of a big deal for us. This is the 10th annual Schaumburg Hockey League Stanley Cup Final. We started in 2011 when we were little pipsqueaks. But because of this celebration and this milestone, we're going to do like a little bit of a vintage throwback. And I'd like to point out, I did this last week, but I'll do it again. We had this idea last summer before the NHL said anything about retro jerseys. So we did this first, but it's ultimately going to be the two captains' decisions what former NHL team they want to pick as their team this year. But Nick, if you had the choice, who would you want to see in this matchup?
Team-wise?
Yeah.
Toronto Barons.
Toronto Millionaires.
I mean, the first, if I have to think of a retro logo or just a retro team, technically they're still around, but you can never go wrong with the Mighty Ducks theme and everyone just goes on the Mighty Ducks. Technically still around, but yeah, definitely the Mighty Ducks should be up there. I mean, just as a logo, but if we're going to like complete, teams that aren't around, I guess the Nordiques would be one. Nordiques logo is always clean. I have a Nordiques shirt. I might actually still have it, hopefully. But yeah, if anyone wants to go Nordiques or Mighty Ducks, I'd push for that. But yeah, just off the top of my head, those would probably be the two teams that probably should be chosen. Or we could do like maybe next year, the year after, do like fictional teams or something, but we'll see.
You heard it here first, folks. If anybody wants to pick the Nordiques, you've already got a player signed onto your team. You get a free draft pick.
We'll take them.
Yeah.
We'll take them. Easy choice. We'll do Atlanta Thrashers. Screw it. Your Atlanta Thrashers.
your Winnipeg Jet. Your Atlanta Thrashers. Yes. But, Mark, did you have one more question for him, buddy?
Oh, yeah. This is probably the most important question I would ask you. So, tomorrow, I think, it's a pretty big day for some people. Big sport game going on tomorrow. It's a Super Bowl or something. I don't know. I think there's two teams playing. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Who are you taking here, bud? Who's your favorite?
Well, I mean, I'm sure you can see the flag in the background, that nice 28-3 flag. I am a huge, I wouldn't say Tom Brady fanboy, but I'm still New England in and out. But again, this is one of those situations where you want to see your ex succeed. They've moved on, but you want to see them do good in that aspect. I'm not really, Holmes, I don't know, not really a fan of seeing his brother's TikToks pop up here and there and just frog voice. I'm sold on the Buccaneers. I think I've convinced myself so that when they lose tomorrow, it'll hurt a little more. My heart does say, you know, Buccaneers all day, but my head is kind of saying, hey, it's probably going to be the Chiefs, but who knows? I see the Chiefs kind of stall at times, and they only, I feel like they get in the red, once they're in the red zone, they score, but they kind of stall out at times throughout the season, and, you know, this comes from someone who's kind of inched their way out of football, but I'll definitely be back in the Buccaneers tomorrow.
My exes have never had success, so I don't really know what that's like. 100%. That's why they're exes. They're gone.
Just you know, before back in the day, there was always one rule: you don't bet against Tom Brady in the playoffs or the Super Bowl. But there's a new man in town by the name of Patrick Mahomes, the Magic Man, and you never bet against Patrick Mahomes. I bet against him last year. I got screwed over. Him? He's gonna run over this Tampa Bay defense. Like, they're gonna not even stand a chance.
Oh, it's not even the defense I see. It's more of the Chiefs' defense, which I think is pretty sus, in my opinion. That's what's kind of scaring me. And I think the Chiefs just lost one of their best linemen. So it'll be a fun watch tomorrow. I feel like it's either going to be a close Tampa Bay win or a really boring, like, Chiefs 50-3 blowout. But
I would love that. Oh, I would love the blowout. But watch it be, like, the last drive. Mahomes is going to drive down the field with it, like, because he's just the best.
Weird sports, like, ironic moments, where it was like Russell Wilson, first rookie season, lost in the playoffs, won the Super Bowl, then lost to Tom Brady in his third year as a starter. Mahomes lost in the playoffs his first year as a starter, won the Super Bowl, and he's facing Brady this time. So I'm going to be backing up that jinx goes a third time around. But again, I mean, we're all just looking forward to drinking and eating some food tomorrow. So.
Yeah, pretty much.
That is true. I have one square. I believe I have 0 and 9, which are pretty decent numbers. I forget who's the 0 and who's the 9, but hopefully it's something, especially towards the end of the game. Bless you. But this is a good matchup between the new and the old, and it kind of has me torn. But if any of you at home are torn about picking new or the old, just remember that Slam Vintage is your best spot for vintage apparel, ran by Mark Levesque, who is not here at the moment. If you're looking to get some old threads, old duds, Slam Vintage is the way to go. They have a Depop, which we'll post the link to at the end of this video. They have an Instagram. Go ahead and contact them if you're looking to get any kind of vintage clothing. These guys are the guys to go to. They really know their stuff. They taught me a lot about vintage clothing, so if you have any questions, you could come to me too, but I'll most likely just direct you straight to them because they're the experts. I just got a couple more vintage t-shirts that I'm gonna be showing off to those guys because they're in the game and they love it and they buy, sell, and trade. So get on over to Slam Vintage and get yourself some retro. He doesn't like me when I use the word retro. Get yourself some vintage threads. But it's gonna be an interesting game, and I know you guys kind of just gave your picks, but we're gonna bring those picks into the gambling corner. Mark, let's hit a little hitting the mark.
Today, the other day, fucking only one team that was favored to win won. All the underdogs won the other day. Holy shit, was it a bad day. That was just pathetic on all teams. I'll be honest, the Hurricanes was most pathetic. You gave up 6 goals to the fucking Hawks.
That was a good game, though. The Hawks played them really well this week.
Carolina's supposed to have the best defense right now in the league. They have most goals, least amount of shots. And that happens versus the Hawks. I mean, I like the Hawks as much as the next guy, but they're not good. No offense. No offense, Hawks fan over there.
It's a rebuild.
Yeah, it's a rebuild. And the Carolinas were just, you know, they've been, I don't say a wagon, but they've been fucking winning. And you come to Chicago, and you win in a shootout, and then you get fucking, you lose by 3. Get out of here. Right now the score is Canadians won, the Blues lost. I mean, I think the Blues are one of the most inconsistent teams right now in the league, if I'm not going to lie. But Penguins are losing. They suck. The Canucks have the worst defense in the league. Like, they are. Every time someone plays the Canucks, bet the over. Canadian teams love scoring. The Jets can score. Maple Leafs can score. The Oilers can score. Vancouver can score, but they don't have defenses. No Canada doesn't play defense. I'll just put it out there. Tomorrow's big games. Flyers, Capitals. That's going to be good because Capitals are honestly on a tear. I mean, I think they lost. But they're looking at their stats here. Capitals are six and two. And just killing it against the spread and the over. So bet them on the over. Hurricane Blue Jackets, I gotta take the Hurricanes. That's an easy. Kings, Knights. Stars, Blackhawks. That's gonna be a good game. I wanna take the Hawks, but I think the Stars are gonna win it.
Take with your head, not your heart.
Okay, then the Stars. I'll be honest, the Stars are gonna win. I mean, the Hawks beating Hurricanes like that, they're not a snowball team. Once they get going, they're not going to keep going. They're going to fucking hit a wall.
You're talking about a Dallas team, which is still mostly intact from last year, and they made it to the Stanley Cup Final and held their own with the Lightning. So, I could see your pick there.
And then they got their COVID problems out of the way nice and early for the season, so you just go on a tear.
That's true too.
Yes, they did. And then the Red Wings Panthers. I'm taking the Panthers. And then Monday.
Whoa, back up. I mean, I know we talked about the Super Bowl already, but what do you have as far as bets on the Super Bowl?
We could
go football here, too. That's fine.
All right, here we go. First, Chiefs.
This is a big game.
Chiefs minus three. One reason, if Patrick Mahomes has a game-winning drive, they're going for a touchdown, and they're going to hit the touchdown. Or if it's tied, the field goal minus two. Taking Chiefs minus three. If you want to tease it down to minus 2.5, take minus 2.5. The over-under is going to be a hard one. My opinion would be, my big parlay would be, take the Chiefs minus 2.5, tease that down, and parlay it with the over, but tease that down to about 4, because I think both teams are scoring 3 touchdowns. I mean, for all we know, Tom Brady can throw 2 touchdowns, and that's it, because his defense will get on top of him. But I think Chiefs money line, but the bets, everyone wants to bet. This is it. Everyone, no one cares about this. Orange Gatorade. Orange Gatorade.
Gotta be orange.
I mean, sometimes, you know, you want red, but, like, you have to think, like, red is my opinion, the worst flavor of Gatorade. Orange is the best. It's always orange, because, I mean, so it's orange. Tails never fails.
Not throwing a lemon lime in there? I mean, come on.
It's lemon lime's not bad.
It's not bad, but it's not orange, so...
I'm not a huge orange fan.
The only thing that scared me for the over of that game is, like, when I was helping my buddy with his, I'm like, oh, slam the over, like, no shot. And then I'm reading throughout the week. There's supposed to be, like, almost, like, a 100% chance of rain last time I heard. I don't know if that's still true, but that could potentially mess with the over, so I'd keep an eye on that.
Weather is a factor, probably. Definitely a game that big.
Yeah, it's at 55.5 right now, which I don't like that. It's a big number. So if you want to bet the straight, take the over 55.5. If I was going to predict the score, I would say you're looking maybe at a 24-17 game. And Kansas City wins 24-17. It could be more than that. It could be less. But I think 24-17. I think it'll be a touchdown game. I think Mahomes will have a drive. I think there's two ways it could end, in my opinion. It could be 50-0. But I think the most thing I want to see is either Chiefs last drive, they go and score, or Tom Brady goes out there, he has one drive left, and he just shits the bed. And the Chiefs cash the spread. So, that's me, Super Bowl. I mean, there's other odds. I don't like player props. I mean, that's Mark's a prank player prop guy. Leonard Fournette is at 40-something yards. That might be a good over, but take Patrick Mahomes over pass, I'll be honest. Travis Kelce over, you know, he's not the leading receiver or tight end in the league for a reason. I mean, he's not doing anything special. But, like, when teams play him, they know he's going to get the ball, but he still gets the ball. So I think I think pretty much Tyreek Hill having a touchdown, scoring a touchdown. Patrick Mahomes running a touchdown, I think he'll cash. So Yeah.
And for all of our hungover people that take off of work on Monday that want to bet some more, what have you got for those Monday NHL games?
Monday NHL games. And Oilers Senators. Got to take the Oilers to win that one. And even, you know, you can bang the over. The over might be nice, but, you know, Senators have been iffy. Hurricanes Blue Jackets, take the under. Hurricanes. It's going to be a 3-1 game. I'm even going to take Hurricanes minus 1.5. Because I think Blue Jackets, they're not going to score. Canucks Maple Leafs, take the over. I mean, right now the score is 2-0 at the end of the first. Toronto's winning. So that one, take the over. Toronto winning and the minus 1.5 for Toronto. Islanders Rangers. This one is where it gets a little. I'm taking the Rangers. Rangers have a good team. Panarin, yeah, he's gonna have a couple points that game, in my opinion. So that game will be good. Probably the over. These teams are not big defensive teams, but, you know. Lightning Predators, like I said, I think out of all the teams this year besides Boston, Tampa Bay is my least favorite team to bet on. Because they're just, I just don't like them. I mean, I like them, but they're just not fun. And then Coyotes Blues, the Blues already lost, but I'm taking the Blues to win and take the over. Even though before it was a 3-1 game, yeah, Blues only scored one goal. I'm taking the over and the Blues to win coming back. So, and I'll probably take the -1.5 on that game too. So that's what I'm rocking with for Monday. So. Like I said, NHL's been, it's been good to me, but the other day it was just, it blasted me in the ass. I got absolutely ripped open, a new one. It was bad to watch. I'm sitting there watching these games like, fuck.
Well, best of luck for all of your picks, but you mentioned watching some of those games. Either of you happen to catch Crosby trying to backhand Michigan the other night?
I did catch that. That was some.
That's an outstanding move. I could do the regular Michigan, and I could get it. I could get the puck facing up on the ice from the backhand. I don't think I would have the guts or the wherewithal to be able to pull that off in a game.
No, unless you're Sidney Crosby, you can do whatever the fuck you want, pretty much.
Yeah, that brings me to my next point, though. I mean, we were talking about Tom Brady, who is the GOAT of the NFL. It's a questionable statement, and some people argue it, but is there a GOAT in the NHL, current or former? Is there somebody that is just so above everybody else, do you guys think?
What do you think? Like former players? Like,
well, I guess based on definition of GOAT, greatest of all time, is there a GOAT in the NHL? I mean, I know a lot of people throw out Gretzky, but the way hockey has changed so much, I mean, you've got players like McDavid and Crosby now, and people argue over that every day. What would you guys say? Who would be your GOAT of the NHL?
That's currently playing right now, easily 100% Crosby.
Funny, this is a perfect episode in Talking Planks. I had this conversation a couple weeks back about, you know, the GOATs in different sports, and I got a hot take for this, so I think we can all clearly say that, hands down, Gretzky is probably the GOAT all time if you'll get points in what he did while he played.
That's true.
If a certain someone never had the 2 retirements and, you know, cancer, I feel like if you switch that 99 upside down and that person played a full-on career, they would be considered the unanimous GOAT, but so be it. You know, Lemieux did have the cancer and the 2 retirements. I believe it was cancer, and you look back at some of the stuff Lemieux did, and not nickel and diamond, the great one, but I have a weird feeling if we had some magical time machine and we're able to change Lemieux's course of his career, I think that conversation is at least a lot closer, or possibly Lemieux if there was not the injury and or the 2 retirements and the career halting cancer at the time.
Oh. You said exactly what I was thinking.
Are you guys on the same wavelength?
You can make the argument of one reason why Mario Lemieux, but right, Super Mario is up there so high to me. Like, he's up, like, peaking at Gretzky, because you look like this. If you put both those players in the right now in the league, Mario, he'll still get those numbers. Gretzky, though, Mr. Can't Raise the Puck. Shout out to Corwin from Bardown. I don't think he'll put up those numbers. Because now goalies do something called the butterfly. So they can drop down versus back then. I feel like most of them had polio, so they like get the braces in their legs. So they couldn't drop down. And then a good thing point I was reading about Gretzky was how many of his assists were like rebounds where he just got on the net, was like tuck in, which still an assist, don't get me wrong. But I think in today's era, Lemieux can still play. I think Gretzky might have a little harder time in today's era with everything, you know, the new goaltenders being absolutely dynamite, but.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I actually didn't even, when I formulated this question, I didn't even think about Lemieux. But, I mean, honestly, yeah, how can you not mention Super Mario?
He just moved, because he was so big, but he moved like he was small.
That's
like,
true.
He just bullied people when he was skating. I was like, fuck it. That's what I'm saying.
Is he, like, fifth all time? And that's with, like, two career, like, retirements at that point, I'm pretty sure?
I believe so. I think you're right.
Yeah.
That's so weird that you guys are on the same wavelength, though. Mark, are you also potentially a long-lost love child of Nick's mom and JR or something like that?
I could be. And let's not forget, like, I think Gretzky might have had some better teammates than Lemieux.
That was second. I was about to say the same thing.
Oh, my God. These two.
Teams. I mean, come on. I mean, Lemieux did have, you know, the
Yager.
But... You know.
But you're talking about Gretzky. He had just start naming them. Go ahead.
Yari Curry, Mark Messier. Yeah.
Messier, Coffee.
Jeez.
So I mean, you put a team like that, anyone's gonna fucking have a trillion assists. Gretzky's gonna just sat somewhere and just like touch the puck once, and hockey's like, oh, it's four touches, and you have to wait 10 seconds, and you have to get off the ice, and then it's not an assist anymore. So,
yeah, that's true.
And Lemieux just went out there and said, fuck it, give me the puck. Fuck you, I'm doing this myself.
And just, like, look at almost, like, the 80s, where it was just basically the Oilers and the Canadians and the Islanders early on, where in the 90s, you know, there were so many powerhouse teams where you had, you know, the Devils were coming up, and Bangs coming up. It just, I mean, granted, they had about the same time frame of playing, but... You know, it just seemed like the Lemieux teams had more sustained success in almost a harder decade of hockey.
Very true. Well, talking about new teammates and potential powerhouses, Line A got traded. We mentioned that last podcast. He had a tough start with the Blue Jackets. Columbus is his new team, new home. The first game they lost to the Dallas Stars 6-3. He came out with a statement afterwards, said, I need to play better. Came back out, scored a goal in that next game, and they went on to win. Mark, you were our Line A expert last week. What did you think about Line A, and especially in those retro reverse jerseys?
I'll be honest, like, those are cool jerseys. Patrick Lane, as I call him. I mean, like you said, he's not an outstanding player. I mean, he's not a player that you watch. You know, I mean, you watch him not because of the big trade, but he's not a player that's always on your radar. Right? Could he be a star of a team? I don't think so. I don't think he has the caliber yet, or he's really shown it. Hopefully, with Columbus, he just steps up. But his performance was not bad. I go for a first time out there. And the Blue Jackets, I think he did what everyone thought he was going to do, really. Like, I feel like no one thought he was going to go out there and, you know, have 2 goals and 4 assists in 2 games. He went out there, he skated, he got used to it, scored a goal. So, I mean, but it's not a blockbuster trade. I mean, if anything, it's a blockbuster trade for fucking Winnipeg. But
I haven't even paid attention. Has PLD, Pierre-Luc Dubois, has he played real well with Winnipeg? I haven't been paying attention.
I think the same thing with Wayne. It's just, they're not going out there to make a statement. They're just playing and who knows? I mean, the boys, going to the Canadian League, I think he'll really thrive there because it's a very offensive forward league. And Winnipeg always needed a guy in the middle to help them.
Well, Mark has a tough time with the names of the players. Just
it's the boy. D-U-B-O-I-S, but come on, it's the boys.
Just like how the Ottawa Senators have had a rough time with their start of their season. They went 1-9 in their first 10 games back in 92-93, the last time that they had this 2D Ottawa Senators logo, which they reverted to this year. And in true fashion, to go back to that era, they started this year 1-8-1. We should get Vince Cipolla on here to talk about his Senators, but I don't know, Nick, have you seen anything from the Senators this year?
I mean, I was watching the Senators, like the Oilers-Senator game the other night, and it just, you know, one, props for bringing back the 2D Sens logo, I love it, but, you know, one, they're in a tough division where every team except them has somewhat playoff aspirations, you could make an argument for. But, you know, and they just look frustrated on the ice, like they were getting spanked by McDavid and Draisaitl, right? And it just, like, I forgot who it was, but you can just see the frustration where, like, they showed the cameraman caught someone going in the locker and just breaking his stick. And it's just, like it's tough to, like, to be motivated and play like that. And I know Ottawa kind of shoot themselves in the leg over the last few years where they were a game away from the Stanley Cup Finals before Penguins ended up winning the Cup that year to trading away a draft pick for an awful Duchesne deal, and then, you know, it doesn't seem like Ottawa has that much of a bright future, and that's what kind of scares me about the Hawks rebuilding, too, is, like, there's no guarantee of tanking will get you a top-three pick anymore with the draft lottery being 1, 2, and 3, and, you know, it makes hockey, we're rebuilding before in hockey, there was a point to it where now it's, like, you can be, like, the Red Wings last year, tank, have an awful team on the ice, and it just, like, sorry, you're only fourth overall. And, you know, at least with the Hawks, though, you know, they have dynamic players. I'm like, I don't even know if I can name a Sens player besides Matt Murray off the top of my head.
Well, they do have Brady Tkachuk, and they just drafted third overall Tim Stutzle, the one who fell in practice, and he's supposedly very good, but he's going to take time to develop. So you're right, that team's kind of in a gutter, and I feel like you're right that the Hawks are in the same position where, you know, drafting might not get you that top three pick. And to me, from what I've seen from this Hawks team this year, it looks like we're gonna tank that much. We might just be a cusp team, you know, that kind of like we were last year, but with the way COVID hit the season, we ended up making it into the playoffs. Well, this year, I think we would just be probably the way, especially where we're at right now, we're right outside the playoffs. And for the Hawks to be there, it's kind of like, you know, you really would rather see the team either make the playoffs and give themselves a chance or just tank. But like you said, there's no guarantee. A team that doesn't have to worry about that, although they did have a rough last week against the Hawks, is Carolina. And they just added Justin Williams as a front office advisor for them. I know, Nick, you're kind of a Hurricanes fan. And after playing on the Hurricanes last year, what do you think about Mr. He doesn't like that nickname, but Mr. Game 7 in the front office for Carolina?
I think it's one of those guys where you hear about, like, no matter what team where he played on, where he was originally on Carolina and then on the Kings, where just tormented the Hawks in 2014. And I remember I think he was on the Capitals for a bit, too. It's just, you hear players talk about him and just how great of a guy he was and someone to play with. I feel like he's a perfect guy that you can transition into a front office role, as he knows the game probably better than 90% of the execs out there, because he's played in there recently, and he also knows how players are. And I feel like that's one thing that lacks in sports a lot, is having guys who understand the game work in a front office position. So I think that's a very good spot right there.
That is the best, and you definitely need those kind of guys that have been around the game recently and understand where the players are coming from to work in the front office, because otherwise you get these new league protocols that they just rolled out this last week. I agree with some of the protocols, and I know the players did too. Mark Scheifele came out and spoke about it. One of them was removing the glass behind the benches to increase the airflow. I could see that. You know, I mean, it's a tight area. They're all sitting on the bench. You kind of want to open things up. That's okay. I'm trying to think of some of the, I know the one I do want to touch upon was you can only arrive an hour and 45 minutes before games now to the facilities. And the players were arguing that, you know, that's kind of their escape. They've got guys that, you know, if it's a 7 o'clock game, they get there at like 4 o'clock to just clear their headspace, get physically ready, get mentally ready. And now they're kind of prohibiting them from from doing that. Mark, what do you think about this decision?
I'll be honest, none of this shit makes sense. It doesn't. I mean, the glass behind you, better airflow, those are your teammates. You're in the locker room with them. You're playing on the bench with them. You use the same freaking water bottle. I know, I think that they use a Twist House now. But there's no difference with a guy sitting next to you. Then, you know, you're in the locker room, so the glass doesn't really matter. If someone on your team has COVID, with or without the glass, the team's going to get COVID. There's no beating them. I go, I mean, you can, taking the fans out is the only logical thing. I go, fucking, you can just take out all the seats, too, to get better airflow. What the fuck you mean airflow? Just to close the arena.
Right.
Open a fucking window or something. Like, what do you mean? Like, even if, like, outside, it's 6 feet. It's a air, it's a pathogen. And it just sits in the air. So I don't get why they're all doing this whole thing. It's like, oh, they're like, oh, an hour, 45 minutes. Oh, shit, an hour, 45 minutes. I mean, 5 minutes, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, there's no difference.
I think to add on to that, hockey players are a different breed. I don't know what it is, but I feel like out of all the play resuming for the four major North American leagues, I feel like the NHL has had the most problem containing COVID so far. I feel like I hear some... a different game getting postponed every other day, and at that point, it's how Mark was saying, you're going to be around these guys regardless. I don't think removing the glass is going to make that much of a difference. I think either keep either better tallies on these guys and make sure they're not screwed around too much where they're bringing COVID to the facility, but you don't have to go to those extremes where, you know, making it more uncomfortable and harder for the players to get in their groove.
Like, has any team or player been fined yet? Because
I don't believe so.
The NBA... you get fined if you get COVID, and then, because I know Kyrie Irving went to a party where he was out, got fucking fined. And now, if he tests positive, he's going to get fined three times as much. So they're, you know, the NFL did it too. They're fining these players for not meeting protocol. So now these players are like, fuck, they're, you know, they're really hitting it on me. So that's why I was seeing the NHL. If a guy fucks up, he goes to a bar when he's not supposed to, bring down the fucking book out.
There's definitely incentives that could be in place to not do those things, and I think that if the NHL isn't doing that already, I'd have to double check that they definitely should. I think going back to what Nick said, hockey's just a different breed in general. I mean, it's a sport where you're playing on the ice at fast speeds, you're bumping into these guys, you're spitting on the ice. I mean, you're breathing everywhere. And going back to what you said, Mark, there's, you know, if somebody's got it, you're in the locker room with them. That was the third protocol that they changed, is they want more spacing in the locker rooms, and even additional rooms opened up in order to increase locker room space so that guys can be spread apart. But I mean, like you said, it's just not going to happen if COVID's already there. Mark Scheifele did touch upon that these players are staying home like they're supposed to. They're not going to each other's houses. They're not going out to eat. So going back to his argument that they should be able to enter the rink before an hour and 45 before the game, he said, you know, that's kind of our escape. You know, we're kind of locked in our houses. We're not going anywhere. If a team's going to get it. And the funny thing is when they were in the bubbles this past summer for the playoffs, this wasn't a problem. And I think it's catching up to the NHL now, and they're getting hit the worst. I noticed that, you know, some football games were getting postponed here or there, but you're also not playing as many games within the week. I think the only other league that you could say got hit as badly as the NHL was MLB last summer, and they found a way to succumb to the pressures and rescheduling. So I think the NHL will as well, but it's tough to see so many teams have to get COVID and then all these new protocols have to be thrown in there just because.
What doesn't make sense to me is how the NHL is having a terrible time dealing with it, but the NBA isn't. NBA is a, before everyone yells at me, it's more of a contact sport where it's like skin to skin. Like everyone, like the NBA, everyone's like hockey wearing gloves, everything like that. I mean,
you're like, sweating on each other in the NBA. Yeah, I can see that.
You know, you're touching, everyone's touching the same ball.
And it's bouncing on the ground. Yeah.
Exactly. I go out there, I'm like, you know, I go out there, you lick your hands and you lick your shoes, get some grip, stuff like that. You know, you spin your, that's it. You know, you rub your, and you know, you don't hear these huge postpones in the NBA. So, like, these guys are, like, physically touching skin, sweating on each other, breathing heavily everywhere, versus hockey's a little bit more open, right? So, you know, it's less, but NBA, like, I have, like, three dudes in my fucking face breathing on me, spitting on me, and the NHL just can't figure it out, you know? I don't, that's what's just amazing, because the NBA is more less equipment, so it's more it's closer. The guys are closer all the time. Cause,
and you would think with how much goes on in a regular NHL locker room on any other year and how in shape these players have to be, these players have probably been exposed to so many different germs and diseases, especially if you got Biz Nasty in the locker room. Hockey locker rooms are, like Nick said, it's a different breed. It's a different environment. And, you know, you feel like these guys should almost be immune. Obviously, you know, COVID's a very real thing, and you're not going to just be immune to it. But the kind of stuff that they've been around, it's like, wow, it's really hitting these guys hard. And some of them are in the best shape in the world, you know? So it's strange to see. Maybe they need to change things up. And one of the things that they could be changing up is their equipment. And Talking Pylons is brought to you by No Name Hockey Company. Are you tired of paying extra just to have the same stick as the duster on the bench next to you? Maybe he's got COVID and you're using the same stick. Ugh, get your own stick. Well, now there's an easy and affordable way to get customized gear made that you can make yourself and stand out without sacrificing quality or technology in your sticks. In fact, No Name Hockey Sticks are just as advanced as the other top-of-the-line sticks and at a fraction of the cost. They have all the same curves and flexes, as well as customizable grips and colors. The pinnacle of the No Name customization power is that they give you the option to make it yours by printing your name and number on the stick. I am an official No Name Hockey ambassador, and I'm always using my newest white and black taper, cane curve, 67 flex. Yes, I like it whippy, okay. My next stick's going to be a better flex. I've been hitting the gym. With traditional grip and sandpaper finish blade, Biz would be proud. This is my third stick from No Name Hockey, and they just keep getting better with each new stick. But don't just take my word for it. Get to nonamehockey.co and get your new twig today. You can also follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram with the hashtag or at No Name Hockey as well. No Name Hockey, respect all, fear no one, and make a name.
And if you use the code word Napoleon, you get $10 off.
$10
or more.
No. I used to have a coupon code for them. I believe my coupon code.
It's still up. If you spend $10,000 or more, you get $5 off.
Oh boy, what a deal! I'm rolling with that deal. That's great. I gotta get over there now. I did have a coupon code for it a while, but I'm pretty sure it expired, so I don't know if I can throw it in there.
I'll be honest; those coupons are the absolute worst. Like, spend $100, get $5 off. The fuck am I spending? $100
at McDonald's. What the fuck do you mean? It's a beer on them. It's a beer on them. Don't worry.
What the fuck?
So,
$100, get $5. Can I save $5? I'll just give you $5. I didn't need 10 boxes of goldfish. You got the non-smelted ones. What the fuck are these? Like, get the fuck out of here.
Something
Mike, you look like you eat unsalted lettuce. Not gonna lie. Did I get the barbecue chips? Hold the barbecue.
Oh my god. Yeah.
I chips and vinegar.
No, I don't eat unsalted Lay's. That's for sure. Before we conclude, I just want to throw in our last segment, which is a segment by me, which I like to call Pond of the Pod,
Pasta of the Pod?
No. The Pond of the Pod, where we take a look at the best, or some of the best, outdoor hockey rinks, ODRs. And this week, I'm actually going to be selfish and feature my own rink solely because I've had to shovel it like 3,000 times. Mother Nature, if you give us one more inch of snow, the 7 dislocated discs... The 7 dislocated discs in my back and I are going to sue you. Like, also, the snow we got today, I didn't see anything last night. Yeah, we got snow, pal.
No, it's still snowing.
Oh, well, then you know what I'm doing? I'm walking into every weather center across the country and handing them the you're fired papers. I'm not even giving them the 2 weeks. They're all fired. It's pissing me off. My back, I'm going to be 90 in a week because of how badly my back is. I've shoveled this thing and resurfaced so much, but it still looks beautiful. Kudos to me. Great job. If you guys are listening to this podcast, I have rope lights that go underneath the ice to form two blue lines and one going down the middle of them to make a red line. I got some flags up. I got a Saturdayser for the boys. I have a Spit and Chicklets flag, an American flag, of course, Pride to America. And then I have a Blackhawks flag. It's actually my older version Blackhawks flag. I didn't want to ruin the nice 2015 one, so I threw the 2013 championship one up there. I also have rope lights that are white that go above, kind of like a party vibe, on rebar. It connects to my deck. From my deck, I have one of those starburst decoration things that people put up during Christmas time, but instead of it being the multicolored lights and the Christmas lights, it's the Blackhawks heads and the tomahawks that kind of shift all over the ice, so it looks pretty cool at night. As well as I do have one of those starburst things, but it's more like a little strobe. Speaker, we used to have a tent adjacent to the rink for like a heated tent and a fire pit, but that's all buried from the 9 million pounds of snow that we got in the last week. So once again, thanks Mother Nature, my 7 discs are coming after you. And that's about it. Oh, you have a Hawks logo, like a little circle frozen into the center of the ice as well, but not to pump my own tires, but I just wanted to get my rink out of the way, and I felt like this was the perfect week to do it because I've been battling the weather. So that is the Pond of the Pod. And Pond of the Pod is sponsored by Rosie O'Reilly's as well as Talking Pylons. Rosie O'Reilly's Irish Pub and Grub, located at O North 131 North Gary Avenue in Wheaton, Illinois. Rosie's is your game day destination for all Chicago sports teams. These guys went to the School of Greatness, so you know the atmosphere is killer. Best of all, they are an Irish pub, so you know that they have the liquor game on lock. And if you gander that I be a wee bit racist, just know that I'm a quarter Irish, so you can kiss me arse. And if you happen to catch the Jofa Dusters there, which hopefully we'll get our season up and running sometime soon, this guy, right in the middle of the ads.
I can call you for some reason.
If you catch the Jofa Dusters there, drinks are on me, unfortunately. There goes my bank account. Rosie O'Reilly's just installed new gambling machines, so bring your mask and have some fun in a safe, friendly environment. This is not that pigeon hockey player, Ryan O'Reilly. No, no, no. This is Rosie O'Reilly's. They actually have more cups than him. Just located south of the Cosley Zoo and Geneva Road at O North 131 North Gary Avenue in Wheaton. Rosie O'Reilly's. Sleeveless shirts are a no-no. Shoes are a must. Try to keep a civil tongue. Please refrain from lust. Enjoy responsibly. And if you mock my ads one more time, I'm kicking you off this podcast. I'm swapping you out. Nick's going to be my new co-host because you guys think the same way anyways.
I'm the transitions, though, I do have to say.
And just, I've gotten better.
By Mark. That was stellar.
Last week, all my transitions were, speaking of. I was like, God, I hate listening
to myself. You brought that up. Shut up sometimes.
The worst part about editing this podcast is having to hear your own voice. I can't stand it. I love myself.
That should be bad.
I love myself. I love talking. I'm Italian, but oh my God, hearing my own voice over and over and over again, it's like, make it stop. Why won't this kid shut up?
100% can agree, but more or less, yeah, snaps from a late night you had the night before and be like, oh, fuck. Because then not only it's your voice, but you're talking stupid. So I've been down that road way too many times.
Oh, when you hear your own voice, especially when you're drunk.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me specifically. I was like, what did I do?
Hang on, Mike.
Mike, the other day, when we were at Twin Peaks that Friday, and I was
we were never at Twin Peaks. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, no, the show. We were watching Twin Peaks at my house.
We were at...
You know the show, Twin Peaks?
Oh, yeah, that one.
At my house. No, fucking hammered. And I planned to get a go out. I didn't eat. I came home from work, had like 5 beers before they came, had a shot of Wild Turkey 101. One more beer. I shotgunned a beer in the parking lot, went inside the bar. Inside the bar, at a tall Sam Adams, a shot of Jaeger. I was like, I just have one shot of Jaeger. Next, you know, waitress comes, and she's like, you guys are like this shot. I go, fuck you, give it here, bitch.
Oh, my God, dude.
Take the shot. I have another Sam Adams. Next, you know, another shot of Jaeger in front of me. What do? Shot of Jaeger. I get up to go to the bathroom.
I walked in as he was going in there. Go ahead.
I'm sitting there, I'm like, standing stuff, right? I'm like, peeing, right? And I fucking, something happened. I lost my equilibrium, I fell for it. smacked my head on the fucking wall.
I walked in right when he did that, too.
I did it twice. I did it twice in a row. I said, boom, I was like, oh, fuck.
I wasn't actually going to the bathroom. Somebody's like, somebody should check on Mark. I walk in, all of a sudden I hear thud. I'm like, what the hell is that? I'm
fucking living. And then Nick took a fucking video of me. I was talking about something.
Not this Nick. Different Nick.
Different.
The other Nick actually knows Mike Cross. They went to Dominican together. So it's funny. Video, connecting to the dice.
I sounded so funny.
He's got a new Nick.
Yeah, but that video, I sounded so stupid up to there. I'm like,
so, man, you open up the group chats the next morning, you're just like, motherfucker.
Everyone's thinking I'm dead.
He was hitting on the waitress, too. I was like, buddy.
Hey, it worked, didn't it?
I don't know, did it? I'm pretty sure it did.
What?
We don't know. In the process. Trust the process.
Yeah, PTP.
Not Twin Peaks, TTP.
Trust the process.
Trust the Twin Peaks? Trust Twin Peaks. Fun fact, Nick, do you remember what your family used to call Hooters when you were younger? This just
I have a feeling maybe what you said, what you're going to say, but I want to hear it just in case it isn't
canceled. It just popped in. Oh, no, don't worry. We're not getting canceled. We're too young to get canceled. We still have
how we get canceled already for this? Last podcast about the women's sports.
Oh, no.
I said it was a fucking joke.
Nick's family used to call it Boobies and Chicken.
100%.
That just popped in my head because you mentioned Twin Peaks, so I was like, oh my goodness. But, well, boys, it has been good. I think we covered pretty much everything, even down to where we're getting dinner. Thanks for jumping on. Nick, it's been a pleasure to have you. Mark, we only had one Mark tonight. We didn't get Mark squared. We wish Levesque the best of luck. He should be back with us next week.
That's all I know. He's probably in a ditch somewhere.
We'll go find him. I'll break the snowboard out. We'll get
all the local strip clubs. We'll start there first.
I don't think he'd be there, but...
We'll start there, because it's the same, you know. Every guy can turn, right?
Pretty good. Yeah, that's probably where he's at. So, let's go save Mark and...
Chippendales.
We will catch you guys next week with an edition of Mike Cross on the podcast to talk about the SHL draft. We'll know who the teams are and what team names will be, which will be very exciting getting prepped for the summer, and it'll still only be February. So, boys, thanks for joining us, and have a great rest of your night, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we hate all the fans. All the fans who hate me, fuck you. I don't like you.
Fuck you, too. Fuck everyone.
I guess so. If you do like me, if you're a fan, you do like me. I know we love you. Thank you for tuning in. You're so great. Chicago, a Super Bowl champ, and we're not doing this.